From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark. He is Ryan Tracy. And their story of the day today is Patrick Mahomes.
In the all-encompassing thing that is not just the space between his wrist and his neck, he is more than just an arm, and I think he really showed it the other day.
More than just an arm, but his arm is amazing in and of itself.
So. Right? And it's funny because, you know, we talked about it post-game, folks, about how much he was able to do without the drive of his lower body. And Trez Paylor said on his podcast how amazed he was with just the how much that arm can do. And it's, you know, the flick of that particular wrist is probably the most elite in this league, because he threw balls that a lot of quarterbacks that start in this league can't throw with their full body intact.
Yeah. And he made it look easy. And that's what was the most ridiculous thing. You know, we're talking about Mahomes, we're talking about his talent, and his arm talent is phenomenal. But when you look at the entire package, I think that's really what makes him stand apart. And I saw an interesting question on ESPN today, and I want to ask your opinion. Does Mahomes make it to $1 billion in earnings?
I'd have to look at how that's going to stretch out. I don't know what he's making from this endorsement onslaught that he's set upon. And it's funny because when you look at them, new advertisers are popping up all the time, right? But he's usually in the same outfit, the same practice gear, filming at Arrowhead. So, like, they must have just racked up an entire day to shoot all these little spots of him dropping and throwing little passes and that kind of thing. It's going to be way more in endorsement money that he's going to make than it's going to be in contract salary. Although I do expect him to approach a 250, somewhere between 250 and 300 million in his NFL career from team.
Oh, I think he makes more than that. 200 million. If he's making 35 million a year, he can make 350, maybe 400 million over his NFL career if he plays 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, we could see. I'll worry about this year right now.
That seems insane. The whole point is that you're sitting here looking at a QB that people are already talking about being transcendent. He's played what? 19 games as a starter in the regular season at this point in his career. He's done things that only two other QBs have done in their entire career for the number of TD passes he has in the first 19 games and the number of games over, I think, three TD pass games was the highest. And then also number of 300-yard passing games in his first 40 games. And John Elway and Kurt Warner were the other two guys that did it, and they did it in 40 games. He's done it in 19.
Well, and I don't know all the stats. I know you're more familiar with the milestones than I am. But those two, he's been mentioned in the same breath this weekend as Joe Montana and Dan Marino. I mean, Hall of Famers, the elite of the elite. I still think Joe Montana is the best quarterback that ever played. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a Patriots fan. I just don't care. Joe Montana is still the top of the heap for me. And to see Patrick Mahomes' name in 20 starts to be put next to his, it throws me for a loop, I got to tell you.
It throws me for a loop, too. And then here's another stat for you that I saw today. Patrick Mahomes has 7 games in his first 19 games that he has thrown 3 or more TD passes on the road in a row. That is the most in NFL history. And he's done it in his first 19 starts.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to agree, again, We forget about the Alex Smith effect, and I'm going to refer to that for the rest of his career, because it's really sad to see what's happened to Alex Smith because of that nasty injury in Washington. But that setup year to learn the system, to learn the terminology, to learn how to work with Andy Reid, that whole adjustment thing, if he had been thrown into the fire a year earlier and had been drafted and put in week one, I think he still would have been a great quarterback, but I don't think he would have been able to come out and do these type of things so quickly.
No, and I completely agree with that. I think that he would have been good, but he wouldn't have been as good as he has been. He's been phenomenal, and Kansas City is very lucky to have him. The best part about Patrick Mahomes, and I will still say this for a very long time, isn't his arm, isn't his ability to move around in the pocket. It's how humble he is in his attitude and his leadership. Those things are priceless, and he has them in spades.
And it's just his easygoing demeanor. And you see how he shifts gears from being his normal athletic, really try to extend plays and do what he does to shifting completely into a different mindset of staying in the pocket, keeping your feet underneath you, not letting yourself get flushed, and delivering the ball. This is what teams thought they were going to be able to do and produce wins, and it's just not going to happen. So I think that might even be the bigger accolade for him. So, man, Patrick Mahomes is unique. We're going to take a deeper look at him, what this offense did, when we get back here in a minute. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. For 20% off your order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code Locked On.
If you found 100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season. Bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Now, the other thing that I think goes a little bit unheralded, and not that we shouldn't have given all the accolades to DeMarcus Robinson yesterday and Mecole Hardman for what he would have been able to do without a penalty, but it's the fact that Pat Mahomes is a gunslinger's gunslinger. He's far with control, and I mean mental, not accuracy, to be able to shift gears from away from Ty Hill, away from Sammy Watkins, straight to DeMarcus Robinson, to just be so clinical about he's the guy that's open, he's the guy that's getting the covers that we want, we're going to him, period.
Well, yeah, and you look at that, and then you look at how much he spreads the ball around as a QB. I mean, he had completions to DeMarcus Robinson, to Anthony Thomas, Damian Williams, and honestly, this is going to be the thing that I'm going to be very interested to see how it plays out throughout the regular season. He's missed Damian Williams down the middle of the field twice already this season. You have to know that he's going to be getting that pass figured out and get it to where it's on the money, because Damian Williams has been in position to have huge gains on those plays.
And, you know, I think we're still going to continue to see that streak of the way that they can attack with their backs, not just in the middle of the field or, with the screen game, but those modified kind of slenderized wheel routes that every back has now run. I'm waiting for Shady to catch one for, 70 yards as well. We'll see what happens with the injuries to Damian and LaShawn here. But again, he doesn't change despite being hobbled, despite being unable to be who he naturally instinctually wants to be, working within the read offense. And this is, it comes back again to me for collaboration, being able to understand where it's going to be, how it can be delivered, no matter what the circumstances that you're facing in your immediate vicinity.
Yeah, and then you start looking at what he's been able to do otherwise. I mean, he's fumbled twice, but he hasn't put the ball in harm's way once that I can remember. There hasn't been a throw that hasn't been batted. Let me put that out there. That hasn't been batted, that has been a ball that I think should have been intercepted or was close to being intercepted. His accuracy is insane. And the way he has been throwing the ball, he's been missing high, but even when he misses high, he's not putting it in harm's way.
Well, that's the thing. He's missing high when it's red zone looks, or for him, what counts for the red zone, meaning on their side of the 50.
But, yeah, exactly. Right.
But in those situations where you don't have defenders behind you, or it's going out of the end zone, things where the overthrow are there. Now, don't get me wrong. I thought he was inaccurate most of the game yesterday. I felt like he just didn't feel 100%. That foot was getting to him a little bit. He was just relying on the arm and the wrist. And,
he pressed early on. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it slowed down the second half as well. I don't know what his second half stats were specifically, but I'll look that up as we're talking. And I think the key really is that despite that, when he's on, he's on. And even on a day that I think some would probably classify as, a bad day for him. It looked all pro compared to everyone else.
Well, yeah, his second quarter beats five or six QBs entire games or entire first two games, not combined, but their best scores for their best for the entire two games that they played. Some of the better QBs in the league. Mahomes' fantasy points in the second quarter alone were more than those QBs have had in two full games. It's just, it's insanity what he's been doing and the way he's been doing it. And his pinpoint accuracy is one of it, but you look at the throw to DeMarcus Robinson where he threw basically back shoulder on that 40-yard bomb when it was third and 17. I mean, Tony Romo had just talked about how, well, you know, you don't want to get in third and 17 because you don't really have any plays to get a first down on third and 17. Screw the first down. Well, I'm going to throw a touchdown pass.
There is no place on a football field where Pat Mahomes did not have plays or options to go to.
Well, and I like what Gruden said. You know, he said in his post game that Kansas City makes you defend every single blade of grass, and they absolutely do. You cannot, there's not a place on the field that Mahomes can't get the ball, and it doesn't matter. I mean, his throw to DeMarcus Robinson that got called back on a holding penalty was impressive, and that was across his body, 20 yards down the field and probably a 50-yard throw, but I don't think it got more than 10 feet off the field.
Right, yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, folks, I'm not trying to say he had a lousy three quarters and made up for it, you know, just there in the second. I mean, we're talking about going from 75% completion percentage in the first half to 64%, 66% in the second half. 66% in this league overall is still an elite level of completion percentage. So it's all relative is the problem. We're just not used to seeing him be off the mark at all, really. And so it does stand out a little bit more when it does happen.
Well, and I think the reason he's been off, and I think that we will see this, and I'm really curious to see how this plays out this week, this coming week, and the week after. I don't think he can get his feet set the way he wants to. I think that what you saw the first week before he was having to not use his front, or, you know, his left foot, you know, I think that's really what you're seeing right now is he's still throwing off his back foot. He's using it all arm all the time and not being able to set his feet. So it's going to be a struggle for him to be as accurate as he really can be. But my whole point is it doesn't matter because he's been playing so well. His accuracy has been good enough. It's been better than most QBs, and he's still being inaccurate on some throws.
Well, you want to know how dumb I am and everybody else was in the pre-draft process? I said one of the things that made me nervous about him is that he allowed his base to get too narrow when he was in college, and it made him use all arm. Well, guess what, folks? That paid off in spades yesterday because that's what he used to get the job done.
Because that's all he had.
Right.
He didn't have a choice at that point. And that's the thing that really stood out to me in that game is you watch that game, you watch every throw he made. I watched a highlight reel of all of his throws in the second quarter. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday, five straight completions over 25 yards. That in and of itself is insane. But you start looking at the way he's throwing the ball, you can tell he's not putting his feet into it. He's not putting his whole body into it. He's just flicking his wrist. And the ball is just, I mean, it almost looks like it's floating for him because it's not going near as fast as you would expect it to go, but it's still getting exactly where it needs to be, or at least close enough to where it makes it look like a good throw.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, he can do that with anyone. And I know there's been some questions. I know we saw one come in about, is this the emergence of DeMarcus Robinson? And I'm just going to caution everybody, if you're playing fantasy, whatever, it's going to be tempting to run out and expect DeMarcus to put up like this. I just don't think it's going to happen, folks. Here's the thing. Patrick doesn't care. Patrick wants somebody to get open. The first guy to even appear close to being open is going to get the ball. I don't think it's going to be consistent from here on out. We saw what happened when the Raiders tried to take away Sammy Watkins. You went to the next guy. If teams try to pay more attention to DeMarcus Robinson now, or even just try to man up on both of them, you're going to see Hardman get more looks. Obviously, Kelsey's Kelsey. There's nowhere to hide on this field for teams. So I think it's going to continue to be a sporadic. I think there will be one guy that probably has the bigger day each game, but I think that's going to move around quite a bit.
Well, and I wonder if you're going to continue to have one guy that has a bigger game every game, because I think it's a situation where teams are going to try to stop one guy and then they're going to realize, okay, well, he's not doing much, so we need to go stop this guy. And then that other guy that they stopped trying to get stops on is going to take off. I think it's going to be a matter of, you could have three guys be over 100 yards in this offense. And I'm not so sure it's not going to happen on a semi-regular basis. Like, it would not surprise me for the Chiefs to have four games this year where you have three guys over 100 yards in receiving yards. It's not going to shock me.
I tell you what else is, I think we may start having to track how many times he throws for 400 yard games as well. So that said, there are some
you want to talk craziness on that. He's the first Chiefs QB in history to throw for multiple 400 yard games. The first Chiefs QB ever. And he turns 24 tomorrow. When you start listening to this, he will be turning 24. Just want to point that out.
I knew you knew the milestones better than me. But believe it or not, it's not all about Pat Mahomes. There's a couple other things going on. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about some of those. I want to tell you about Vivid Seats, the online event ticket marketplace that's dedicated to fans of live entertainment and sports. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams or artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through Vivid Seats via the app Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. They can help you find those club-level seats at Arrowhead that you've been looking at, or find a concert anywhere around town, maybe see a theater show. And great prices aren't the only thing. They have an internal, in-app-only loyalty program called Vivid Seats Rewards. And with these rewards, ranging from an MVP to a Hall of Famer, customers can earn up to 10 to 16% credit on all their purchases through the app for the month of August. Just go to your favorite app store and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. All Vivid Seats are confirmed orders and are backed by 100% guarantee. And best of all for our listeners, if you enter our promo code KICKOFF at checkout, you can receive a discount of up to $100. That's KICKOFF when you check out in the Vivid Seats app. Now, a couple of minor moves, and I say minor, and they probably are for everybody but Dave Tope. But Dave is crying somewhere. Because Tremont Smith is no longer a Chief. He was released. They were trying to get him back, and a team swooped in and picked him up, and I think they're going to be better off for it.
Absolutely. Green Bay took him, and you knew that he wasn't going to be somebody that they could bring back on the practice squad. I know that we have a tendency to overvalue players at times, but Tremont Smith is a fantastic returner. But he can't bring anything else to the team, and Kansas City has other guys that they trust to be returners. Now, what this means for Kansas City moving forward is they have to get more out of Hardman. And the question is until Tyreek Hill comes back, are they going to use Hardman as much as a returner? Or are they going to move to DeAnthony Thomas as being their returner, who doesn't bring near as much as Tremont Smith at returning, but he is a fantastic gunner as well, and he can be useful in the offense.
And I think Dat is serviceable. I think he can pop one from time to time. And I think more so than anything else, he's a very consistent returner and can do what the job is of that particular group of special teamers in that maintaining positive field position. I think that's going to be the role because you're right. I think Tremont Smith has more home run ability. But if they really need a big play, they're going to swap in Hardman or Hill eventually anyway.
But the key is Tobe needs to get to a point where he's telling his returners to stop trying to take the ball out if they have an opportunity at times. Because it is going to cost Kansas City, and it has continued to cost Kansas City when they catch the ball inside the 5 yard line.
Third and 17 for 50 yards.
Fair enough.
I am worried about it. I'm with you, Dave.
You're not worried about field position. I can see that.
No, I need one inch line and beyond is where I draw the line. Okay.
Well, when you start looking at what this offense was able to do yesterday, they had two drives that started from the 5 or inside the 5. Their own 5, and they scored TDs on both of those. And I don't know that they ran more than 5 plays on either of those drives.
I would have to go look, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, how crazy is that?
One thing. And I thought the Raiders came, and here's the thing, the Raiders came out with a decent game plan. They played them tough, they played them physical early, and then things started to change. You have to be able to adapt. And that's the thing is, I think what this game told you, and it's going to look like a lot like what we saw. It's an evolution, really, of what we saw against the Patriots, where they get down and they have to regroup, they have to restructure, but they can do it and come roaring back. And the positive thing here is it didn't take a half, it took a quarter.
And I'm glad you bring up the Patriots, because this is exactly the kind of game that Kansas City has struggled in the most against those Patriots. the Patriots have come out and they've pressed them. They've tried to get in their head. They've done everything they can at the line of scrimmage to try to do to mess this offense up. And Kansas City actually took that game plan that the Patriots have been running defensively. And I know the Raiders don't have the right defensive personnel like Belichick does, and they can't run it the same way the Patriots did. But the way they were running their defense at them, Kansas City demolished in the second quarter.
Absolutely. And that's something to build upon.
They made the adjustment that they couldn't make until the end of, or until the start of the second half, the two times they played the Patriots last year. They made that going into the second quarter, and it paid huge dividends. And one other thing that I saw, and this is an interesting stat to me at least, Cam Irving yesterday, a 92% pass block efficiency rating from PFF. Best in the NFL. Worst in the NFL when it came to run blocking.
Yeah, and that tells you something about why the Chiefs got 1.4 yards a carry, which I'm trying not to break into tears about.
But when you have the passing offense that the Chiefs have, if he can have that kind of passing, if he can be that effective passing, yes, it stinks that they can't run the ball, and I'm not going to blame it completely on him because there's other people that are not being able to get their blocks. It's not just Cam Irving. This is a problem that they had last week when Fisher was playing. But when you can do what you can do in the passing game, it becomes less important to be able to be as dominant on both sides of the on both of those types of snaps. So that's helpful.
Absolutely.
And then there's another stat I want to talk about real quick. Expected points per attempt. Patrick Mahomes is on another level than any other QB in the NFL in the past 10 years.
Look at you with the advanced analytics. I love it.
It was crazy. Well, and I saw this Arrowhead Analytics. If you don't follow them on Twitter, go check this out. Go check them out. They have some great advanced analytics. They posted this one. Patrick Mahomes is getting expected points per attempt of 0.5 almost. And what that means is when the team is down, here's their stat that they're looking at. When their team is down and they have less than a 33% chance of winning the game, all the QBs that have over 100 attempts in those situations, they have a chart for the past 10 years. All of the QBs are 0.2 and under. Aaron Rodgers is the highest at 0.2. Other than Patrick Mahomes, who is at 0.5.
Wow. That's significant. And folks, that data is for real. They're pulling it from NFL scrape. Like all the big analytics houses have done it for last seasons. Next Gen has real-time data that they get as well, so it's a little bit different. But this is quality education, so check that out. I encourage you guys to all look at that. And honestly, they do things that I just don't have the time to do. I have the data bank. I just haven't been able to analyze it. So
you don't have the time to get into it. I get it.
You know, it's a heap of data, and it's nice to see somebody that's being searching for Chiefs-specific nuggets. So check those out as well. Other moves that we have to talk about, in fact, one that's happening right now. So real quickly, Chiefs did sign O-lineman Greg Sinnott off of waivers. And unfortunately for Chris, and I know a number of you, Joey Ivey has been waived. We're going to find out Wednesday if he gets back to the practice squad, which I think we're all hoping for. I don't think that that's too far a stretch, do you?
No, I don't think it is. I was kind of surprised that they cut him, but it makes sense. Although it does kind of concern me that they're bringing in another offensive lineman, because I would have to look. I think that makes it 10 on the roster at this point. And when you have that many offensive linemen, that means that Fisher's injury is probably going to be more severe. He's going to be out this week, would be my guess. And they're looking at having to try to have three guys active as backups, because you can't have that many offensive linemen and not have, it's just, I don't know. You have to look at it and wonder what that is going to mean for this week. Maybe yeah, they're going to try to be going run heavy, but with the injuries to LeSean McCoy, who had an MRI, we don't have the results of yet, but it doesn't sound like they thought it was serious on his ankle, and the injury to Damian Williams, you have to wonder, are they going to be able to run the ball a lot? And are they going to have to make a move to bring another running back in?
We're going to talk about that later in the week. It's Daryl time, I'm just saying.
It may be Daryl time, but if both those guys are out, you have to make another move. You can't just go into that game with two guys, although DeAnthony Thomas can run in that running back role.
Daryl Darwin, DeAnthony, and Sherm, I think they're just fine. I'm not concerned about that one bit, especially after how they look throwing the ball this week.
But the Ravens defense is a lot different than the Raiders defense.
It is. And we will talk about that later in the week, folks, because right now, as we're talking, it has come to pass. And I want to cut this off before the discussion gets out of hand. The Chiefs did it again. They have broken the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Jalen Ramsey has asked for a trade. His agent has confirmed it, and they are supposedly seeking a first round pick plus. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you haven't seen the RGR videos about the film room from last week, I think I spilled it out really clearly. This guy is not good for a locker room. He is not good in their locker room. He would be terrible in the Chiefs locker room. His talent alone is not enough to save what he will do to a roster. So I do not think that they can pursue Jalen Ramsey.
The nice thing about Jalen Ramsey is I agree with you. I don't think that they should pursue him. He is a fantastic corner. I don't think that chemistry wise, you want to bring that type of guy into this locker room. But the one thing it should do is it should drive down the price for other guys. So that's my hope, is that with Jalen Ramsey out there, you know, maybe Minka Fitzpatrick is going to be somebody that they can get for a second round pick now. Or maybe they can find a way to get Xavien Howard. I don't know.
I like the way you think. Next time I buy a car, you're going with me.
We shall see on that. I'm not surprised by the Jalen Ramsey issue. He has always seemed to have a little bit more of a me attitude than really anybody else. I won't say anybody else in the NFL, but a lot of people in the NFL. And there are a lot of people in the NFL that have a very me attitude. So that's saying a lot.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm sure we will hear a ton more about this, folks. I just wanted to get that out there right now as it's kind of happening as you guys are driving home and we're recording. Wanted to get that out. So that said, we'll be back tomorrow. Our schedule's a little bit off with Matt Derrick having to travel this week and that kind of thing. So we'll try to circle back with him later in the week. Tomorrow we have a crossover edition with you. We're going to go behind enemy lines about the Ravens and get you some inside information. So look for that tomorrow and we'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.